This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Pharrell with Mafia and Carver High and the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios in New York. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. PharrellandTheBench.com is at it again. I hit Philly last year in the big game. New England this year to win outright. Minus the 2.5 on the spread hit. Tons of my props hit. Now it's hoops and hockey time. Get the best picks at PharrellandTheBench.com. Everything. NBA, college rack, NHL, boxing, MMA, daily fantasy rosters. It's all there. PharrellandTheBench.com. Sign up today. Hide the money from your wife. Pharrell on the Bets, my sports betting podcast on WestwoodOnePodcast.com, iTunes, and Google Play. Comes out every day, Tuesday through Sunday, a half-hour sports betting show. Check it out. Subscribe free. Follow us on Twitter at OnTheBets, WWO. Tomorrow, episode 140. Check it out. I think you'll dig it. Also, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4. CBS is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Now, did you guys see this deal tonight for Bullock? They've agreed to trade Mihaluk, that kid, Svi Mihaluk, who played at Kansas. He's a three-point specialist. And a second-round draft pick to the Pistons for guard Reggie Bullock. I thought they loved that kid, Svi, in L.A., and obviously not. So they moved him. Detroit will create $2.5 million trade exception with the Bullock trade to the Lakers. He's in the final year of his contract, and L.A. will inherit his bird rights in the summer. And the former second-round pick, Svi Mihaluk, whatever, is in year one of a three-year, $4.6 million deal. The Pistons will have until July 5th at 8 p.m. to guarantee his $1.4 million contract for 2019-2020, the third season, $1.6 million is a team option. Detroit is now $1.5 million below the luxury tax for this season. So, like, you're kidding, right? At the end of the day, that's what they're getting? Reggie Bullock, after all that Anthony Davis talk for this week, they're going to get – so this is just
– this has nothing to do with
it. Are they going
to
get Trevor Ariza too? Because the more I look every day, every player in the league is going to the Lakers, right? Is that not about right? Every single player in the league will end up playing for LeBron. Every player. Anyone that's on the trade block right now in the NBA is going to play for the Lakers. Is that about right?
That's what it feels that way.
It feels that way. It is that way. I saw today they're going after Trevor Ariza too, right? Who aren't they going after? You know, I was just watching too, the Heat. They're beating the Blazers tonight in Rip City, and I was looking at him. You know, I just wanted to say, like, has anyone ever really seen this guy Justice Winslow play? Right? He's got 7 points tonight, 3 of 10 shooting. He's a disaster. And I'm sitting there thinking, remember, he was at Duke too, right? He's in his third year. Is that about right out of Duke? And he was a first-rounder, 10th overall by Miami. He was averaging about 13 points in his last 10 games, 8.5 in February, 10 points against Blazers, 13 points in wins, 11 points in losses. A career 8.5 point a game guy this season, averaging 12 points a game. I was just watching him thinking to myself, boy, this guy's never really turned into anything, has he? Justice Winslow. Is anybody afraid of him? I mean, honestly. I look at all these guys that go to Duke and they end up, you know what they remind me of? These Indiana players. Do you remember every Indiana player that ever played for Bob Knight or whatever? They all, who was the only one that ever amounted to anything? Isaiah Thomas, right? Is that about it? I mean, honestly, Scott May, Benson, none of those guys mattered in the NBA. They didn't, right? And I'm just thinking, like, Duke. Every guy that goes to Duke goes pro, right? They all go pro. Justice Winslow. Are you kidding me? Does anyone think that guy's a really good player in the NBA? I mean, seriously, when I watch him, I'm like, yawn city.
No, he's been a disappointment. When they picked him, I liked him. I thought he would be a great pick in that draft. I thought he was better than some of the other guys that were taken. I thought he was the more, you know, dynamic player than Okafor. Everybody was all over Okafor from Duke that year, thinking that he was going to be a star, which obviously didn't work out either. If you're talking about Duke guys,
he's
that
been
the hell.
A disaster.
Right, but everyone was all over him. I'm like, this guy, what he did in the tournament, how athletic and explosive he was, I loved him. I thought he'd be huge for any team. I wanted the Knicks to get him, and then he goes down there and does absolutely nothing.
So let's talk about, just for a second, this John Wall injury. We haven't talked about that tonight. This guy ruptures his Achilles at home. Is that about right? He literally, is that like he fell at home? He slipped and fell at home? Does this even make sense? Look, this is what I'm hearing. A partial rupture of a tendon during a procedure done Monday to address an infection from the operation to his left heel on January 8th. So you're telling me they discovered a rupture of the tendon, but I had been under the impression he was not wearing his walking boot, which is okay when you're at home, when he slipped and fell on January 29th. He never heard a pop. He had slight discomfort in his Achilles. So the problem wasn't known until yesterday. What is a problem, you talk about his Achilles being a problem. What is a problem is he's done for a year, and he's making $19 million this year. He signed through the 23 season. He'll make $38 million next season, $41 million in 2020-21, $44.3 million in 21-22, and $47 million in 22-23. I mean, are you kidding me how much money they owe this guy? They owe this guy enough, I mean, literally more than the budget in our nation's capital for the city, right? In the district? He's making more money than the whole budget for the city, right? The economic budget for Washington, D.C., is it even as high as what they owe this guy? And can anyone, like, look at this guy's injuries. He missed 33 games with a left knee stress in 2012. 2016, surgery on both knees. 2017, inflammation on the left knee. 2018, another procedure on the left knee. Missed 27 games. That's... in January, December, he opts for this December, at the end of the year, heel surgery. He's done for the year, and now he's going to have surgery on a ruptured left Achilles tendon. I mean, at some point, do you just have to say, he's fried? I mean, he's fried. Is he not? Is he not, like, washed now with all these injuries? He's got bad knees. He's got bad heels. He's got a torn Achilles tendon. And let's face facts. When he played at his peak, when he was not injured, he was like the fastest guy in the NBA besides Westbrook. Is that about fair to say? Was there anyone faster than this guy going to the hole than John Wall? I even think he's faster than Westbrook. Not anymore. He's got bad wheels. He's got bad knees, bad heels, bad Achilles. He's missed so many games with all of these injuries. His body is ravaged. He's had multiple injuries to the lower body and his wheels. Bottom line is, he's never going to be the same, is he? And they owe him more than God. They owe that guy more money than... I mean, literally, are you watching these numbers that I just rattled off? 19 million, 38, 41, 44, 47. Are you kidding me? If I were the owner of that team, I would drown myself seeing those numbers with a guy that's never going to play for a year. And then when he comes back in a year, what's he going to be worth? Does anyone ever really come back from that injury and they're great again? Do you think Boogie Cousins will be great again, like completely dominant like he was before he ruptured his Achilles?
I think he'd be dominant still, but the problem is Boogie Cousins didn't just get by on his athleticism. He has that. But he can get by on just his pure size. He can bully people and push them around. John Wall can't do that. John Wall got by on his speed, got by on his cuts, got on the breaks, on his ups, all the things that are going to be seriously impacted by his Achilles. How is he going to have the confidence to plant that foot on a hard cut now after coming back for the first couple months to a year? There's plenty of guys who have had this happen that just aren't the same. They don't have that burst anymore. And that is what he thrived on. He's not a great jump shooter. He's not a guy who's big and can just push you around like DeMarcus Cousins. He needs that burst, and now you're going to lose that.
Do you think, because he's a really good player, the guy can fill it up for sure. Do you think he'll ever be the same? Is that a no?
No.
And then what would you do if you were them now? Keep Beal no matter what, right? You can't deal Beal. You can't get rid of him.
This season's already done, and if now next season's done too. You got to have something there.
Carver High.
I don't know. I think that I would try to. I think I would try to move Beal.
Move Beal and start over with new players.
I think you need to completely start it over. They had a nice little run. It never really materialized for them. They never got as far as they wanted to go with the Wall Beal era. I think you end it all. You get whatever you can get for Beal because he's still got value. He's a good player.
So, but then you're saying keep Wall and bring him back
in
a year.
You can't do anything about Wall.
Because they owe him so much money.
It is what it is. I mean, you can't trade the guy. I mean, he's.
So trade the other guy.
I would trade Beal.
Start tanking.
Well, they already are tanking.
The way of the NBA.
All the way to the bottom. You either got to be the top or the bottom. The middle is the worst place in basketball.
So you think, all they do is lose. I mean, aren't they already in the bottom of the barrel? I mean, let's face facts. I mean, they're a disaster this year. I mean, they can literally beat no one. Didn't they lose the other day to the Hawks? I mean, they are terrible. But, I mean, they're right now in 10th. And they're 22-31. So I think they need to do some serious losing because they're only, three games out of the playoffs. What they should do, if I agree with you, is just start losing.
Tear it down.
Start losing now, like the Knicks. The Knicks have it down to a science. 10-43. Phoenix and the Knicks are the two worst teams in the league, hands down. And the Cavaliers and Bulls, right? Even Atlanta's better than them. And Atlanta, I think they just beat the Wizards the other night. They did. They beat them, I think, last night, right? 137-129, they beat them. So, and Atlanta beat the Suns, too, 118-112. So they're not the worst team in the league. They're actually better than those teams that I'm talking about being worse. We'll come back and talk NBA Rack with Kurt Heelan of NBC Pro Hoopstock on the bench.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4CBS. Let's talk to Kurt Heelan of NBC Pro Hoopstock on the Bench. How you doing, Kurt?
I'm doing good. How's it going, man?
Good, brother. Good to have you back on. I got to ask you, we were just talking about John Wall, his injury and injuries, the heel surgery. Now they've found a ruptured Achilles tendon after he slipped at home or whatever it is, and they found it in a, obviously had some discomfort. They found it. They're going to operate on him. He's going to be out a year. It is staggering the amount of money they owe this guy. It really is. And I guess my question to you is, I mean, this guy's breaking down like nobody's business. His wheels are falling off, and that's all there is to it. He's had multiple knee problems, now the heel problems, now an Achilles rupture. I mean, this is a disaster for this franchise.
It is an anchor. I mean, honestly, I was talking with some people around the league, and frankly, other journalists too were saying this. Before this, before the Achilles, this was the most untradeable contract in the NBA. It's a max 4 years for a guy who's already showing, like you said, he was already showing some signs of decline. He was having a rough year. He hadn't been healthy. Now he's going to miss a full season. Remember, Scott, his entire game, I don't say his entire game, much of his game is based on his speed, right? Like, he's just fast with the ball. He's explosive. That's at the heart of what makes him dangerous, is that he can get to, maybe Westbrook, maybe De'Aaron Fox, but he... those guys were the fastest end-to-end with the ball in their hands. He's not going to be quite the same. And does he have the craft to be the same guy? It's a huge setback because that's just an anchor on the Wizards' books now for – I mean, maybe they can trade that the last year or two, but it's going to be hard.
What are they going to do now with Beal? Because we were discussing it, like he's their only viable – a piece that they could move to start over because they're already terrible.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a really good question because remember, it's not Beal's making a lot of money, but there's actually interest in if they wanted to trade Beal, they could find interest really fast. You know, this is a all-star level shooting guard who does a lot of things well. And while he's on a max contract, it's an old CBA max sort of thing. It's not as bad. Remember, though, they've also maxed out Otto Porter, which is another problem for a couple of years. They're really just a completely capped out tax-paying team, And it's going to be interesting to see, not so much at the deadline, but going forward, how they decide to handle this. Are they going to strip this thing down and rebuild? They have not been a team that will tank. They're not going to just trade these guys and start over. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think they're going to try to stay competitive on the fly, but they haven't really shown an ability to do that very well.
Kurt Heelan with us from NBC. So the AD talks with the Lakers, I don't know what to believe. If it's dead, if they're out, if they're serious that they're out, if they're serious that, you know, the Pelicans' demands are so outrageous, they really are, because, I mean, I don't understand it. You tell me, because I could go through the list. It would take me, you know, a minute to go through the list of they're basically offering their entire franchise for Anthony Davis and picks, and it's still not good enough. I mean, at what point do you just say, screw you, I'm not playing this game?
Well, I think that's where the Lakers are at. I think where we're at is, honestly, my sources with New Orleans had said from the start they really didn't like the Lakers, the young players, that much. They weren't that interested. They thought that – plus, well, I think there's two things here going on, Scott. A, they think that that Laker offer or a close-to-it version of that will be around as long as they want it. And so they want to see what Boston will offer, which has a lot of variables now with Kyrie Irving. They want to see who wins the lottery. Who's got the Zion pick? There's a lot of variables. Like, they want to see if some other team out of the blue gets in the mix. So they want to play this field. They want to make it as much out of this as they can, and they just don't love the Laker players. Here's the other thing that really doesn't get talked about. Dell Demps, their GM, has been on thin ice for years, and there was a sense if they didn't make the playoffs this year, there would be a house cleaning. Front office, Alvin Gentry's coach, it would just be redone. Well, if you're going to clear out your GM, it would be totally unfair to that new whoever's coming in to have Demps make whatever trade he makes with the Lakers and say, okay, well, this is what you got. Welcome to the new job. You would rather, if you're that GM, you want the ability to make that trade, even if it ends up being with the Lakers. You want to have some control over that. So I think that that could be part of it as well, that after the season, there's going to be a house cleaning, and whoever ends up being the new GM will have a big say in what happens. But what I've heard from the start is that they really didn't like the Lakers players. They really didn't want to play this game. They were not going to deal with the Lakers before the deadline in a serious way.
So, Kurt Heelan with us. They did get Reggie Bullock tonight from the Pistons, but that's a yawner. And then, are they after?
That's because they don't have any points. With Lonzo out and Rondo in and out, they desperately need some ball handling and shot creation. And they got it at a price they can afford.
Yeah, fair enough. And is it true they're after Ariza?
Yeah, they would love to get Ariza. They would look. Remember how LeBron said before the season he wanted to be patient and see what there was going on? Did anybody actually believe that? Did anybody actually think LeBron was going to be like, no, I'll totally wait for these guys to come around, and you know, if we punt this year, that's fine. That was never going to be the case. Ariza gives them the wing depth and shooting, the kind of veteran they really could use to go next to LeBron and start to fill out the roster in a more traditional way around LeBron than they have done so far. That said, as mentioned before, this is the Wizards. I've heard they're not selling. We'll see what happens in the last 48 hours, less than 48 hours now, before the deadline. But if they're not going to tank, then Ariza's is not available.
Is Marc Gasol getting moved? Are the Grizzly Hornet talks serious?
Very, very. It's almost. I would be surprised if it's not done tomorrow. Marc Gasol. I'm curious what the package going back will be, because you can construct this a couple of different ways. But I imagine it'll be young players and some picks, along with you've got to put in Michael Kidd-Gilchrist or some people to round out the salaries. But Marc Gasol is an upgrade for them at center. And remember, Michael Jordan wants to make the playoffs. They're not really a threat to the top four teams in the East, even with Gasol, but they can make a series of it. Like, they've got Kemba Walker, they've got Marc Gasol, they've got some decent role players. Maybe Nick Batum steps up, and they make a little push, and then they re-sign Kemba, which is their ultimate goal. We'll see if that happens, or if you're the Knicks and you maybe or maybe not, but let's hypothetically say you're getting Kevin Durant and you've got to put a point guard next to him, and Kyrie. That Kemba Walker is a New York guy.
Yeah, listen, I'll take them because I've never seen anything like watching them tank every night. I mean, they absolutely do not try at all in any NBA game at all. I've never seen anything like it's so obvious now watching them that they are losing on purpose. It's almost embarrassing. What did you think of that Zinger trade to Dallas, Porzingis, and then what they got out of it and where they're headed? Do they really believe they're going to win the ping pong lottery and that they're going to get Zion? Because nothing goes well for the Knicks ever. I mean, literally ever.
No, I don't. And the lottery odds have changed, by the way. If they have, I think, do they have the worst record in the league or their second to worst, whatever?
They have the worst record right now.
The worst right now. So you know what that gets them? A whopping 14% chance of having the number one pick. And by the way, I'm going to forget the exact number, but it's like a 44% chance they pick fifth. It flattens out incredibly this year. So the odds, it's not quite the old, all 14 envelopes in the bin, but or 16 envelopes in the bin, but it's closer to that than it's been in a long time. So they could be fifth. They could be third. They could be wherever. And if they may not get Zion. If this were, Scott, if this were any other franchise, you'd be like, there's zero chance they would do this unless they had a back channel handshake conversation, or agreement with Kevin Durant to come. Because for Porzingis was huge with the fans, and you may have questions. We may have questions about what a 7'2 guy coming off an ACL looks like. I mean, that's a fair question. That's a guy with a healthy injury history that you've got to pay if you're Dallas now. If you don't give up on that, unless you've got something else coming. And all that said, man, it's James Dolan's Knicks. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens. You think you've got Kevin Durant, and he's like, maybe I really like going there. And then they win their third title in a row. And they're moving to a building, Scott, literally like, I think it's like two blocks from where Kevin Durant lives, like in the city. Are you sure he's leaving? Are you really sure? They've made a huge bet.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Kurt Heelan with us, NBC. Do you think, Butler walked out of the locker room tonight, didn't talk to the media at all.
Yeah.
I mean, how painful is this guy? And they're really not I don't think they're a better team with him, to be honest with you. I thought with Covington and Saric, this was a more cohesive unit. We talked about him tonight. Do you think they can beat Milwaukee, Toronto, or Boston, no. Even Indiana? I don't think so.
They can beat Indiana without Victor Oladipo. They're just, come the playoffs, they're just not, Indiana had a nice one tonight, but I'm not sold that they can do that in the postseason, unfortunately for them, because they've been playing. I mean, they're playing really well. They have that kind of balanced roster that can give you a lot of problems, but without Oladipo, I'm not sure they're the same. That said, I don't think they can beat any of the other three. Boston might be playing the best in the group right now, although Toronto had a nice one tonight. That said, man, that becomes the question. And I don't know. I watch that team, and I think about the other big three. I think about, other big threes. You think about what Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade had to do with to play with LeBron in Miami. You think about the Spurs under Tim Duncan, how all those guys sacrificed. So then that's exactly what's going on in Golden State, right? All those guys sacrificed, probably Clay more than most, but all those guys give back. I don't get that sense when I watch the Sixers. I mean, Ben does a little bit, Ben Simmons, but I don't get the sense that they're all sacrificing for each other for the betterment of the team right now. And that's part of it, man. You can put all the talent you want in the room. If you can't get everybody to buy in and give a little, then it doesn't matter.
No doubt about it, Kurt. Great stuff tonight, Kurt. Always a pleasure having you on the bench. Thanks for coming on CBS Sports Radio. I'll catch up with you down the line.
I look forward to it, man. Take care.
All right, Kurt Heelan, NBC with us.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Do you think the Knicks could ever get Kemba Walker and bring him back here, like to New York?
Sure, why not?
I mean, is that a guy that you believe that they're secretly after and that everybody thinks it's Kyrie Irving and Durant and, Anthony Davis? And the reality is more of a chance, odds-wise, realistic odds-wise, that they could get a Kemba Walker?
Well, let's be fair. They need two guys, okay? They need two.
Right.
So let's say the impossible happens and they're able to pry Durant into New York. What do you think of Durant, Kemba Walker, and another pie in the sky? Let's say they somehow got Zion. Let's say they got the top pick. Zion, Durant, and Kemba Walker.
I mean, that would just absolutely rock New York.
It would change the face. I mean, this is pie in the
sky. It would just absolutely change the entire world. I would stop talking about how much I hate it here. I would actually stop talking about how much I hate it here as opposed to, you know, I would actually – because I told you tonight how frustrated I am as a basketball fan. Is that not fair to say? I mean, Mafia, you're a basketball fan. Carver Eye's a hockey fan. I love hockey, too. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. But I love basketball, and I play basketball, and so do you. Do you not get sick and tired of your entire life? I mean, you have literally been around – a lot. You have been alive – and never seen anything but losing from the Nets and Knicks your entire life. I mean, they've won once.
Yeah, they've had two good seasons pretty much my entire life. The 94 one where they lost in the finals to the Rockets when the Rangers were in the Cup at the same time. You had the O.J. Chase interrupt the finals game. And then the shortened season in 2000 when they came off the strike and had Canby, Sprewell, Houston made that run to the finals and they got their ass kicked by the Spurs.
Right.
Those are the only two times I've actually enjoyed watching Knicks basketball.
And then what about when they won 54 games with Melo?
It was all right, but you knew they were going to do nothing.
54 wins. If they won 54 games, I wouldn't wear clothes to work.
Yeah, but you looked at that team, and you knew they weren't going anywhere because it was just him shooting the ball all the time. They didn't have any depth. I'd much rather have seen the teams where Ewing was, you know, basically at his last legs, and you had LJ Oakley. Those guys were a lot better to me to watch than that one season when they won 54 with Melo because you just knew they weren't going to win the playoffs.
So, what would you do if they got the three that he just mentioned? Kemba Walker.
KD and Zion.
And Zion. Can you imagine what would happen at the Garden? It's already sold out for their crappy games. I mean, they don't ever win. What have they lost now, 14, 15 in a row?
Yeah.
I mean, it
15 in a row at home. 14 overall.
I mean, it is so disgusting.
It's embarrassing.
Watching them play is absolutely worthless. There is no reason to watch them. They're so bad.
And it's just flat out obvious that they're tanking. You know, it's not even like it's a hidden thing. Earlier in the season, they were having games where it was coming close down to the wire, and then they were losing. But they were still playing tough, and then at the end, they got, you know, they lost by 10. Your boy Schmoes was telling you today about how they got within 1 point of the Pistons with Robinson going off, the rookie, the big man inside, and then they yank him out of the game and don't put him back in because they don't want it to win.
Right.
They didn't want to take the lead.
So let me ask you this. Did you watch this guy tonight? I mean, he is piping hot landfill ass garbage. Wesley Matthews. Do you notice? Now, I don't know if you notice or not, but he's been in the league around 9 or 10 years, right? This guy, did you see when they got him how many people said they were interested in Wes Matthews? Like, there was like six teams lined up to get him. Now, look at this guy. He had 9 points tonight. He averages 12, 13 in his career. And, you know, he's averaging in the last 2 weeks 5 points a game. I mean, he is going off the deep end. He's so bad. How about last Thursday night? No points. And they didn't even play him Thursday and Friday. He's so bad. I mean, honestly. And then Wednesday night, he played at the Knicks. Listen to this. And they won the game, and he had 17. And then tonight, he had 9. But listen to this guy. 2 of 11 from the floor. 1 of 3 from downtown. 4 free throws. 2 rebounds, 5 dimes, a block, and a steal. I don't care what you say. He sucks. I honestly don't want to listen to anybody tell me that guy's a good player. Seriously, are you kidding? I watch that guy chunking Jays tonight like no one's business. I watch every game, and I want to literally stick a knife in my eyeballs so I don't have to watch them. That's how bad they are. Did I not come in here tonight wailing Carver High about that I can't just get 1 year, just once? What did I say to you? That if I would even appreciate, I even said this, it came right out of my mouth. If the Islanders, I said they were really good this year, but that's the only team that's good in town. So I want the Islanders, Rangers, Knicks, and Nets to all be good the same winter. What would happen to this town if all four teams won consistently? This town would be, you wouldn't even care if it snowed.
Yeah, it would be a lot different. It's been a really, really long time in this town.
Is it not depressing?
Is
that why you're not, because you don't really like basketball. You just play the game here on the show. You're a hockey fan, pure and simple. But is it because they suck so bad that you lost interest in the Nets and Knicks completely?
Always hated the Knicks. I've hated the Knicks since I was a kid. Like, I hate the Knicks more than I like any team in the NBA. I mean, it's just that simple. I can't stand them.
Why is that?
I just don't like them. I don't like the Knicks. I always rooted against them. I don't know what it was.
You have no reason?
No real reason. I kind of liked the Nets as a kid, so that was probably built into it. But, you know, I still root for the Nets. If I had to root for one team, it would be them. But as you know, I've explained this 1,000 times. I have a problem with the NBA. I have a problem with the way the NBA is currently set up. And that's why it is what it is. I don't mind gambling on the NBA. But sitting down and watching an NBA game, I mean, you got to – I'd rather – you know, jump off a bridge. It's just, you got to be kidding me.
I watch every game. I watch every game, every night. If there's a game on, I'm watching it. I love it. I can't get enough of it. People say the NBA sucks. You're imagining
you
things.
Have to gamble on it because, let's be honest, these games mean nothing. All these games mean zero.
Well, I do gamble on it.
I'm saying, though, you have to gamble on it. These games mean nothing.
Unless you're gambling.
If you're a fan of 27 out of the 30 teams in the NBA,
right.
You have no reason to watch. You have no chance to win an NBA title. Zero.
So this game right now, Miami's up 5 with 4 minutes to go in Rip City. They were down to 1. They got it to a 1-point game, but now it's back up to 5. Magic rookie center Mo Bamba will miss significant time. He broke a bone in his lower left leg. And they're not saying surgery. They're just saying it's got to heal, right? It's going to take a while, like 6 weeks at least, at the very least. So Mo Bamba's out. Anyway, did you see? I gave you the list for the dunk contest and the three-point contest. Are these not the only two things that matter about the NBA All-Star Weekend? At least some people. Like, I don't even think the dunk contest, I don't even think they should keep doing it anymore. I don't think they should have it anymore. The three-point contest has never been the same, has it? And so now you got Steph Curry, Damian Lillard are in this thing, right? So it's it looks like Seth Curry, Steph Curry, Devin Booker, the defending champ, Kemba Walker, Chris Middleton, Dame Lillard, and Dirk Nowitzki are the other notables taking a part in this that are going to be in it. Buddy Hield, Joe Harris, Devin Booker, Seth Curry, Danny Green, Nowitzki, Lillard, Walker, Curry, Steph, and Middleton. There's your three-point contest. Does that do anything for anybody? And then the anything, Carver High?
Zero.
Zero. And then the full list of participants for the All-Star, the dunk contest. It appears to me that, what do we have? Four-player lineup includes Smith.
Four players.
Dennis Smith Jr., Miles Bridges, Diallo, is that his name, from the Thunder, and then John Collins of the Atlanta.
Like, honestly, like,
does this not end? They got to end it.
How can that go on? First of all, there's four guys. Second of all, are we serious with the lineup? Like, how can anybody want to watch that? Really?
No one will.
It's NBA All-Star Weekend, and we have that in the dunk contest?
Those guys aren't even
all-stars.
This
has been going on for a while now.
But those guys aren't even all-stars.
Ridiculous.
Not one of them. Does someone really consider Dennis Smith Jr. an all-star?
Well, no. It's just none of the all-stars want to do it. None of the all-stars want to be in the dunk contest.
So
it used to be back in the day that you were only in these events like if you were in the all-star game, you know? That's how it used to be way back in the day. Like how the NHL's, you know, Saturday night skills competition.
Right.
That's all guys that are in the game. Used to be the NBA stuff was guys in the game, but then nobody wanted to do it anymore. So they had to bring other guys in who aren't all-stars to do it. Typical NBA.
All right, so there you go. I think I've gotten everything I can out of the NBA tonight. I've squeezed the turnip as much as I can. Except, I guess, there are predictions of the Cavs making deals at the deadline. We know Memphis tomorrow and Charlotte may pull off this deal. The Sacramento Kings are after a veteran with the playoffs in sight. Philly looks like they'll finally get rid of Fultz. Is that about ready to happen? What a bust he was. I don't care what anybody says. The Atlanta Hawks are ready to sell the whole team. They want to get Zion, so they need to start losing more than they are because they've been playing pretty well lately. And then we all know what the Knicks are doing. Sell, 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 sell everybody. Get rid of everybody. That team that they have is honestly the most pathetic thing I've ever seen in my life. So an update on the Raiders, Carver High. What is the latest? Yesterday they were going to play at Oracle where the Giants play, and the Niners are not having it. Is that accurate? The mayor is going public against the Raiders. playing at Oracle, and San Francisco now is off the table. What are they going to do now?
Yeah, the 49ers are still not expected to waive their territorial rights, which is, they, I guess, because it's in San Francisco, the 49ers have to approve for the Raiders to play there. They're not going to do that. It looks like it's either going to be back in Oakland or at Levi's Stadium. Now, the reason why Levi's Stadium, I guess, would be involved is I'm sure the Niners won't have a problem if the money's going to be going in their pocket. So that there would be the difference.
All right. So you think they'll end up playing at Santa Clara at Levi's?
Because it certainly sounds
well,
that
it's
way.
Not in,
they're not going to play in Oakland.
That's not in San Francisco.
Oh, that's true, too. I mean, that's kind of in the middle of nowhere. So.
Right. It's down above San Jose.
Right.
So it'd basically be San Jose.
Right.
Now, do the Niners think they own the whole state?
Probably. You know, that's
because they own San Francisco,
but that's
right?
Their stadium. So.
But San Jose is not San Francisco. Let's be
no,
clear.
No, it is not.
That's like saying, remember the BS about Anaheim is Los Angeles? How does my ass sound on that one?
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim,
oh,
remember
please.
That one?
Oh, please. They're in Orange County, for Christ's sakes. All right, so it sounds like they're moving to maybe Levi's Stadium, and everyone complains about that stadium whenever there's a game played there. People complain about it.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.